Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." When God said this is true, everything he says is true, it's truth. But when he says this is true, he really wants to emphasize a point. And now the sermon.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath to you. You know, this new microphone setup, I almost feel kind of presidential. Two microphones pointed at you. All we need is just the seal right up front and we'd be good to go, but I'm going to point these down. Amen. Now I don't look quite so presidential, so that's good. So real quick, I want to follow up with something Luke said, and an invitation to the meetings that are going on. So how many of us have been through multiple evangelistic meetings? How many of you feel you have nothing left to learn? Good, good. We're all honest with ourselves. So I don't know about you, but when I have opened up this book, I've read sometimes stuff 12, 13, 14, 15 times. And then maybe on time number 16, the spirit just kind of has the light go off, the bell ring, whatever you want to say. And so I find that every time I go through any type of meeting like that, there's always something or multiple somethings that I find that comes to my mind that maybe I didn't think of it quite from that angle yet. And so so why would people who've gone through multiple evangelistic series come to another one? Two reasons. One, because there's people there that want to get to know you that I'd really love to have you get to know them. So that's part of it. But the other part of it is there's just things that are constantly coming up from the Word of God that you may never have thought of it from that angle ever before. And then it's just like, ding! And then the Spirit then got to teach us something new. And so those are the reasons. So this commercial is over. But let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much that your word is limitless for us. And so, Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time to dive into the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, of which the communion is pointing us to that. So, Father, I just pray that you pour out a blessing. May your Spirit just fill our hearts and minds with what it is you want us to know today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are there any lifelong, generational vegetarian Adventists out there? Okay. So, apologies for what I'm about to say, and some of you might go, what in the world is he actually doing with this first part of this particular message? So, you're going to see in a while. So, by the way, let me come out the other side, because the first side might not be comfortable to some. And you're going, wow, what is this guy going to say? You want to know? All right, good. So the largest single dish in the world, do you want to know what that is? Like main dish to eat? You want to know what that is? Pork? No, it's not the largest. It's probably about the most unclean, but it's not the largest. Roast camel. But not just any camel. Not just any camel. So in celebrating a very special occasion, like say, for instance, maybe a foreign dignitary would come, or they're having this really, really big event, there's Mohammedan tribes in the Arabian, the Syrian, and the North African deserts. They would prepare this roast camel, and this would be the dish of the big party. This would be the dish. And so, but it's not just the camel. So let me describe it to you. By the way, how many of you guys have heard of the turducken? You know what the turducken is? Some people are confused with that. They kind of look, what in the world is that? So at Thanksgiving time, there will be this amalgamation of a turkey, a duck, and a chicken. And they put that all together, and anyway, there's all kinds of weird grafting in and all that stuff like that. We won't talk about grafting in at this point in time. This isn't your turducken. This is a main dish without equal. So here it is. You ready for it? First thing, you take a fish, fairly large fish, and then you stuff eggs inside of the fish. That's the first step. And then you take the stuffed fish and you stuff it inside of a chicken. Sound good yet? If you guys could see Nona's the look on Nona's face right now, it's just, I wish I had a camera, I could show it up there. She's like and then the chickens are then stuffed inside of sheep. And then all of that, and by the way, let me come out the other side because I see him looks like, ugh. All of that is then roasted as one big happy family. Somebody fell over because they couldn't handle it. But we're not done yet. The entirety of everything that's inside of the sheep after it's roasted is then taken, and then the camel's opened up, and then they stuff that sheep and everything in it into the camel, and then they roast that as one big happy family. Does that sound appealing? It doesn't sound appealing to me whatsoever, but to these people, their culture, this, when they're going to have a major, major, major occasion, this is what they do to show the dignitary that they're making a big deal out of them. And they're showing whoever, whatever the source of the party is, we're making the biggest deal we possibly, I mean, a camel's probably about the biggest deal you could make. But I hope maybe, oh, by the way, would you like fries with that? Anyone? Can you just have the fries? Did you know that potatoes are always vegan? Remember that. What's that? The potatoes are always vegan. The contents of the potato. Would you agree with this, that in Bible times, the wedding feast was the biggest of deals? I mean, the Jewish people would take an entire week and they would be celebrating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because it is that big of a deal. In fact, Jesus' very first miracle was in and around what? The wedding feast. So obviously, Jesus thought it was a big deal also. Lots of food, lots of drink, lots of joy, lots of celebration. I hope you probably can get an idea of where I'm going with this, because Jesus talks about us, his people, us, the church, as his bride. And I'll just go ahead and say this. Every single one of us to Jesus is a big, big deal. Every single one of us. And he is inviting us to, as we read from Revelation 19:9, he's inviting us to something that he calls the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that invitation is to anybody who wants to come. And it's Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if we think that roast camel is a big deal, Roast camel, by the way, we're not going to have it at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? That's a good thing. But who is it that he has called to join the marriage supper of the Lamb? Anybody who would accept the invitation. Anybody. In fact, Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse 2, there's some of Jesus' parables. He begins with, the kingdom of heaven is like. There's something that's really key in the parables, and that is this. Jesus came partly for us to actually get a more clear picture of what the kingdom of heaven is actually like. Because at that time, God's people had painted a very poor picture. And I would say that every single one of us, part of our time would be, Lord, help me to paint a beautiful picture of you as we walk this earth. Matthew 22, verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. That's sad, isn't it? So we have to understand something. We are to invite as many as we can to the marriage supper of the Lamb, but we do understand that not all humanity is going to accept that invitation. But let me ask you, did the king in this parable say, oh, you don't want to come? Okay, that's fine. And then he just stopped. Because we need to see something about this that is so key. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. When did the king stop inviting people? He stopped, well, those people he would have stopped inviting them, the ones who refused. But when did he stop inviting everybody else? Until the banquet was completely full and the banquet was ready to happen. This is something that's really key. God never stops inviting until the banquet is full. And he wants us to see that. That's one of the main things he wants to see is, number one, the king has a banquet that he's throwing. But number two is, I am not going to stop inviting until the banquet's full. So I wanted to share this. I really, really like this vision. It's from First Testimonies, page 69. After beholding the glory of the temple, we went out and Jesus left us and went to the city. Soon we heard his lovely voice again saying, come, my people, you have come out of great tribulation and done my will, suffered for me, come in to supper, for I will gird myself and I will serve you. Now, at the Last Supper, there was 12 people to wash feet. But there's a description of this particular table. And, you know, we're in eternity, so if he has to take however long, but it says here that one of the first things that we're going to experience is Jesus is going to say, have a seat at the table that I've prepared for you. And I'm going to serve you. So eternity is going to begin with Jesus doing this major act of service. How many feet is he going to have to wash? You know what's interesting? It doesn't say how many feet he's willing to wash. So here's the vision goes on. And we shouted, hallelujah, glory, and entered the city. Here I saw a table of pure silver. It was many miles in length, yet our eyes could extend over it. So one table, have any of you guys gone to the Thrive Umpqua dinner where they make one big long table? I think some of you have. You guys have, right? Jim and Joyce Ann, did you guys go to the Thrive Umpqua thing? It's this huge, long table that Thrive Umpqua puts on. This is a table of pure silver that says the table itself is many miles in length. I think Jesus is going to be busy serving for quite some time. But it doesn't say, hey, he's kind of worried about how much time he has to invest. He's not worried about that whatsoever. And it says, no roast camel is going to be there. Amen? But here's what's going to be there. I saw the fruit of the tree of life. I saw the manna. I saw the almonds, the figs, the pomegranates, the grapes, and many other kinds of fruit. That sound better? This is the fruit of heaven. The food of heaven. Much, much better than roast camel. The abundance of heaven is going to be the very first thing that is provided to the redeemed. That's going to be the very first thing that's provided. And while we eat, Jesus serves. Just like Jesus, isn't it? We partake and Jesus serves. You know, Jesus is actually calling us to do the same. They should partake and we should serve. Oh, what's that going to be like? You know, we like to describe, you know, somebody comes up and says, here, have a grape. We can think of it that way, but really, what the message here is, the very abundance that God has to offer, he is offering freely to each and every one of us. To each and every one of his created beings on this earth, he is saying, just come to the fullness of my abundance. And by the way, it says the table's many miles in length. He's got plenty of room. He's got plenty of room. Earlier in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Does he not? Does he not? Amen. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. I have to tell you that I am going to admit something. Alana and I struggle sometimes with being timely. Does anybody else? You kind of go, okay, I need this much time to do this much time to do that. And how many of you calculate correctly? Denny does. He calculates correctly. Because being on time is being late, right? Yeah. His wife has made herself ready. My father said to me one time, you're going to be late for your own funeral. No, Dad, I'll be on time for that. I don't think that the emphasis should be on us saying, am I ready or not? Because it actually says, she has made. What tense is that? Has made. The readiness has happened. And I will tell you this, one of the tools of the devil is to make certain that we aren't saying we have been made ready. And we're just simply waiting for our God to come. As a people, we need to be able to say, we have been made ready. And the readiness itself is a gift from God. So Lord, please help each one of us to be made ready. And the serving part is mentioned also in the Gospels. Luke 12, verse 37, it says this, "Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them." And that's the reference. Jesus is saying to each one of us, I want you to be there. And I want to be able to assure you that this is going to be the tenor. This is going to be the fabric of eternity. Can you imagine what this is going to look like? Put yourself into this vision that we read. But Jesus is saying, by the way, it's not about the supper. It's about the one who's kneeling at our feet serving us. That's what it's about. And so when we, and most, I don't know, does this actually say it? It does. In remembrance of me. Most of our communion tables say that, and I really like that they do. Because the idea every time we partake in communion is not about the symbolism or the emblem and so on. It's not about that. It's supposed to be about us realizing that we're supposed to remember that as we partake in this, that we're saying, today I want to recommit myself to being there for the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what the remembrance part is. So the question is this, will we accept the invitation? And will we allow the Lord to make us a people ready? Have we arrived there yet? No, then God's people, us, we need to say, Lord, make us ready. So will we accept the invitation? That's our challenge as day to day. Are we going to accept the invitation? And will we allow the Lord to make us a people ready for that day? And as we partake in that, I would like to have all of us wrestle with that, with those two questions. And as we leave here, may we be a people of prayer, and this is the prayer. Lord, please, please, make us ready, and may we also become invitations to other people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much that you offer the very abundance of heaven for us. And Father, the ultimate abundance that came down from heaven is Jesus himself. He's the gift. Not only is he the gift, but he's the giver. So Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to covenant with you to allow you to make us a people ready. May we accept the invitation. And Lord, it's going to be an absolutely beautiful, it's going to be the best meal that has ever existed in human history. And I pray, Lord, that we would all be there to enjoy it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to break for the foot washing, or what some call the ordinance of humility.
I am reading from Book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 19. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Dear God, we accept your gift of your life for ours. And as we take this bread, representing your body, we want to remember you and do it again with you in your kingdom. We want to strive for your kingdom and help this to be all of our holy name. Amen.
Jesus said, "Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
Then likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Dear Father, to know what it means to accept your cup on our behalf, may we each one have a better understanding of what this means, your love for us, and how we in turn love others. We thank you, Father, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And Jesus said, "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Scripture tells us they sang a hymn and then they went out. On your way out, there's going to be an offering that's going to be taken up that allows us to assist people in need. And so if you want to give to that, there'll be... Sherman will be in the back with that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for Jesus. Lord, without him, there would be no hope. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't just hope it happens. We're assured. We are assured of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So Lord, please, may we have burned in our minds today the remembrance of what Jesus has done. And may we choose to allow you to make us ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord, this is just a small indication of what that meal is going to be. And Lord, it is going to be amazing. May we all be able to meet there. As a friend of mine said, in the northwest corner. And so, Father, please pour out your blessing on us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.